Emily a minute to get up here. Our next presenter is Dr. Emily Crist from Georgia Tech, and she's going to talk to us about, we'll see.
Not a doctor yet, almost.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm
That's okay. Well, good morning. It's great to be here. The title of this talk is Quantifying the Usefulness of Ensemble-Based Precipitation Forecasts with Respect to Water Use and Yield During a Field Trial. So before I really get into this, I'll provide a little bit of background. What was the purpose of this, and really what were we aiming to achieve here? So first of all, we sought to try to really anticipate how producers might use weather forecasts to save irrigation water. And in doing this, we hope to be able to compare yield and water use to the commonly used checkbook method, therefore making it possible to determine if using weather forecasts to help schedule irrigation would decrease water use while also maintaining yield during the 2014 season. So this slide describes the experimental setup. We were given four test plots at Stripling Irrigation Research Park near Camilla, Georgia. One plot was designated the dryland plot and it received no irrigation. One plot was irrigated based upon checkbook recommendations taking into consideration previously observed rainfall. One plot was irrigated based upon checkbook recommendations but took into consideration forecasts issued by weather.com. And one plot was irrigated based upon checkbook recommendations but took into consideration what we call bias-adjusted ECMWF forecasts. Two varieties were planted, one of which was more drought tolerant. Irrigation applications began on June the 8th, which was the first week of squaring, and continued through August the 30th when bowl opening occurred. So we assume most producers were not able to make irrigation decisions on a daily basis. Instead, we assume that many of them might only be able to make irrigation decisions twice a week. So therefore, the bias-corrected forecasts were issued Sunday evening and Wednesday evening, and likewise, the weather.com forecasts were downloaded on Sunday and Wednesday evenings. So when making irrigation decisions based on the weather.com forecast, we considered rain chances greater than 60% during the first half of the week, that is Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, enough not to irrigate. If rain chances were less than that, then irrigation proceeded as normal with respect to the checkbook method. The same was true for Wednesday evening forecasts, except we looked ahead to Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So a little bit of background on these bias-adjusted forecasts. These are ensemble forecasts, meaning that there are many forecasts issued for one grid point. So in this experiment, we used the nearest 25 model grid points, and there were 51 forecasts made at each grid point. So probabilities for the amount of precipitation were calculated based on the number of ensemble members forecasting a threshold amount of precipitation divided by the total number of ensemble members. So in this case, there were 25 grid points, as I said, and 51 ensembles per grid point, which comes to about 1,275 total forecasts. Bias adjustments were made taking into consideration past forecasts and past precipitation observations in the area. These adjustments wound up lowering the predicted amount of rainfall as compared to the raw model forecast. So during the first part of the season, we noticed that these adjusted forecasts were under-predicting rainfall events. Because of this, we decided to lower the thresholds for which we were predicting. Up to this point, we had been using the half an inch threshold for each part of the week. That's because that's what the checkbook recommended. Reducing these thresholds was just a simple effort to overcome the suspected under-prediction bias. The yellow highlighted boxes indicate time periods in which the model under-predicted rainfall. So we re-ran the missed forecast in June, and we found that we could lower the threshold amounts for rain and save partial irrigations going forward. So in other words, the model was predicting the rain. It was just not a high enough probability to suspend irrigation. So for the remainder of the season, the forecasts were issued so that probabilities were computed for partial irrigations as seen on the slide. So basically, they would take the checkbook recommendations and subtract off these values if it was above the 60% threshold. So the following slides are going to show the results. First, we'll discuss the dry land plot. Not surprisingly, below normal precipitation for the Camilla area resulted in significantly reduced yields at 1,947 pounds per acre for the drought-tolerant variety and about 1,737 pounds per acre for the other variety. So using past observations to adjust the checkbook method on this plot resulted in evenly distributed irrigations throughout the season, as you can see, and nice yield values at 3,820 pounds per acre for the drought-tolerant variety and 3,689 pounds per acre for the other variety. So considering past observations saved almost 3 inches of water in comparison to the total checkbook recommendation over the period. And although the weather.com forecast recommended fewer irrigations, as you can see in the slide, there were some missed irrigations, or what we call false alarms, occurred during the season. In these cases, the forecast predicted rain, but none fell. However, more water was saved in comparison to the checkbook method, considering past observations, and the yield was actually a little higher. Considering the false alarm rain deficit, this resulted in about 3.5 inches of missed irrigations, but the yield was still really high at 3,998 pounds per acre for the drought-tolerant variety and 3,888 pounds per acre for the other variety. So using these forecasts, say 4.5 inches compared to the total checkbook recommended amount. The bias-adjusted ECMWF forecasts were less likely to forecast a false alarm at the 60% probability threshold. There were only 2 false alarms predicted during the season compared with 6 for the weather.com forecast. Only partial irrigations were missed, and this totaled 4/10 of an inch of rain over the forecast period as compared to 3.5 inches for the weather.com forecast. So although less water was used than the total checkbook recommendation, water used by this plot was higher than the weather.com forecast or the checkbook method considering past observations. However, the yields were higher as well, coming in at 4,165 pounds per acre for the drought-tolerant variety and 4,119 pounds per acre for the other. 1.3 inches of irrigation water was saved over the season as compared to the total checkbook recommended amount. So this slide compares water usage among the different experimental treatments as well as the recommended water application total using the checkbook method. The first column shows this total seasonal amount recommended using checkbook. The second column is the observed precipitation. Third column is the amount of irrigation water applied using the checkbook method considering past observations. The fourth column is the amount of water used considering the bias-adjusted EC forecast. And the fifth column is the amount of water used considering weather.com forecast. So compared to using the checkbook alone, that's no adjustments for rainfall. The bias-adjusted EC forecast saved about 1.8 inches of water. Compared to the checkbook alone, the weather.com forecast saved 5 inches of water. And compared to using checkbook and keeping track of observed rainfall, the checkbook applied during the experiment saved 2.93 inches. So among the 4 experimental plots, the dryland plot produced yields that were significantly lower than the other treatments for both the drought-tolerant variety and the less drought-tolerant variety. There were no significant differences among the remaining 3 plots for the drought-tolerant variety. There were significant yield differences between the bias adjusted EC plot and the checkbook plot for the less drought tolerant variety, with the bias adjusted ECMWF plot producing significantly higher yields than the checkbook plot. There were no significant differences found between the bias-adjusted plot and weather.com or the weather.com and the checkbook plot for the 1944 variety. So, finally, I think we could draw a couple of conclusions based on this work. For this experiment, using weather forecast to schedule irrigation maintained yield with respect to the checkbook method that's used a lot. And saved water with respect to the total checkbook recommendations over the season. I realize that this is only just one season of work and one set of test plots, but my future work will include using weather forecasts in a crop model to simulate yields from multiple years and at multiple probability levels, not only just 60%. With that, any questions? It's Sandy Loam, I think. Somebody can correct me if they're. Yeah. Possibly. My expertise is not in soils, so I'm mainly the weather girl. So. Mm-hmm. Well, I would think that a deeper sand soil would dry out a little quicker. So. DSAT? Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping to be working. Well, I've been working with Brent Ortiz at Auburn so far. So, yeah. Absolutely. I think there are a lot of possibilities when you bring in the modeling aspect of it. But I also thought that doing a field trial like this is very practical. I know that there are a lot of people, especially producers, that they don't necessarily believe sometimes what models say, and sometimes the models are not that great. So I think this may have been a good place to start.
Do we have time for more questions or discussion?
I'm surprised you predict rain that well. I don't know
how big were your grids? You talked about so many grid cells. Could you give us a sense of that?
So the grids were pretty large. You're looking at about 15 kilometer grid size. So what we did with this was we took about a 1 degree lat lawn square around Camilla. And the reason why that we did that is because the nature of summertime precipitation is usually convective. It's not like these nice frontal systems that come through in the winter. And so it's more of a statistical approach, trying to predict probabilities this way. So even though that I know a lot of people may be concerned with that type grid size, I do think with the type of precipitation that we deal with in South Georgia in the summertime that it, may be a good way to look at it.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, thank you very much.